Blog Talk Radio.
I got a condo in Manhattan. Baby girl, what's happening? You and your ass invited. So gonna get to clapping. Go pop it for a pad. Pop it for me. Turn around and drop it for a pad. Drop it for me. I'll rent some beach house in Miami. Wake up with no jammies. Lots to tell for dinner. Coolio served that scampi. You got it if you want it. Got it if you want it. Said you got it if you want it. Take my wallet if you want it now. Jump in the Cadillac.
Girl, let's put some miles on it.
Anything you want.
Just to put a smile on it.
You deserve it, baby. You deserve it all. Lucky for you, that's what I like, that's what I like.
That comes on 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. I'm so excited to be blessed to see Mother's Monday. You know, anything that may occur this weekend, not have been positive for you, but you know, God bless you to be able to be with us tonight and just be on this face of earth. God is so good, and we have to be thankful to be have this opportunity to come before you on these many networks. And we're so glad we have this chance because we're not only on Blog Talk Radio, which is the call-in number is 347-857-4192. We're also on Facebook. That's facebooklive.com. Just facebook.com/DRLDRBertoSmith. Or we have an opportunity to be Instagram. I mean, that's always good. That's Lorenzo D. Smith 15. So, again, we're using all of these vehicles to get the word out. Then we're recording on YouTube as well. So I'm so glad to be a part of this and just have an opportunity. God just continue to bless us in so many ways. And we say thanks. We give him the praise. We got an exciting show. We're going to be a part two. Now, it's his part two, so we're going to make sure you call in. And our title of our show is Talk is Cheap, Voting is Free, Take it to the Polls. And we want you to do that because Super Tuesday is it happened last Tuesday. It's going to be happening again tomorrow. Make sure you got to vote. Don't ever think your vote don't count. It does count, and it matters. So we have to take advantage of it. We're in some trying times now, and I want us to understand that. So when we bring these topics to you, we want to talk about some things that might relate to you. If not, share your point of view about it. Again, the call-in number is 347-857-4192. We have several people that are joining us tonight or plan on joining us, and I know I have one person on the line right now by remote, and we'll give her that introduction in a minute. Now, if you want to tweet the show, you can go to @TalkingRealToYou, @LorenzaDSmith15. Also, if you just want to just check the show out later on, you can just go to Blog Talk Radio, the Smith Way Production, and you'll be able to hear the show. And I also will post it on Instagram, Facebook, Google Plus, and the many other outlets. So again, it's good to be able to be for you and talk about some voting. And I have this person I want to introduce that's on the line, but I will share with the other team members so when they do come on, they'll be able to jump right in. We also have out of the state of Georgia that will not be joining us. She already texted me and said she won't be because she just not able to do it tonight. And that's Dr. Olivia E. Smith out of the state of Georgia. Then we have the Millennium, Mr. Cameron Giver, who will be calling in. He said he's going to give us a holler tonight to make sure. And then the part of the tandem of the father and daughter, being the only Blog Talk Radio show in the country, and that's my daughter, Lauren D. Smith, and she said she's going to make a point to hit us in as well. Now, last but not least, this person is devoted, and so glad to have her because she's family. She's a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. So proud to have my sister on here with me all the time from Greenville, South Carolina. None other than a finer womanhood. My friend, Scarlett H. Black. How you doing, Scarlett?
I am doing fine. How are you tonight and all of our listening audience and all those fellow Greeks out there in our listening audience? We're so glad that all of you are joining us tonight. And my brother, it's always good being with you.
Thank you so much. It's always good to have you with me because that's what it's all about. It's all about getting the word out. Let's come hard at people as a family. We're going to take it block by block. And that's what it's all about. And that's always our thought about this. We don't bring you things and just to bring them to you. We're going to go block by block. And we're going to take it home by home. So we make sure the word get out. So we're being heard in 16 countries. We got listeners all over the world. But we want to make sure you and your community hear the message we're going to share with you. Also, you got a right to call in. You got an opportunity to call in. We have 50 slots where you can just call in and listen to the show or call in and just offer your point of view. And the call-in number, again, is 347-857-4192. So, again, happy just to be here on Marvelous Monday. Again, talk is cheap. And on Super Tuesday, before then, there was a lot of talk going on, but a lot of things happening that just shipped the tide. So voting is free. It didn't cost you nothing but a little time to go to the poll, push the button, pull the levers, slide the electronic ballot, however it may be. Take it to the polls. This is part two. Scarlett, let's kind of get started with it tonight because I want us to definitely talk about your state because your state set the tone. The primaries in South Carolina that actually happened on a Saturday. The voting was done on Saturday. You can correct me. And you can share from your point of view what all happened in South Carolina and how important it was for each of the candidates who was running for the presidential nomination.
It was critical because we were the first state that actually had a primary. Other states like Nevada and Iowa had caucuses, even though New Hampshire had a primary. We were the first very diverse state. In this state, Black America, Brown America, we're prevalent in the state of South Carolina. And I was so proud that South Carolina set the pace, set the tone, showed up and showed out. I had to go out of state, but I voted before I left. And it made a difference because we were the first battleground where you really have a very diverse population. And even though this is, and it's also a very conservative state, this is a red state. And for us to come out and do what we did to set the tone for the rest of the country and for those who are voting in hopefully in all the states, we're very proud of that. Let me just say something about our statesman who is in the House of Representatives, Representative James Clyburn. He is a true patriot. He is number three in the Democratic House of Representatives behind Speaker Pelosi. He's her number three. And he's so well respected all around the country. And when he made his emotional endorsement to let everyone knew where he stood, that made a huge difference because to that point, there were some people, even some of the folks that I know here in Greenville, who were supporting other people. They had not heard from Representative Clyburn, but as soon as he spoke, it made a tremendous difference. And to get out the vote was there, critical, and we knew that we had to really get to walking and not just talking and going to the polls and voting our preference. So this is what we did, and as a benchmark of doing that, it also spurred other states to do the same. Virginia, registration and voting was way up, as well as ours. And also, I think Alabama, didn't you all vote last week too, Brother Smith?
Yes. We voted on Tuesday, yes.
Voted on Tuesday. You were on Tuesday too, and you all showed up. And with all this purging of voters from the voting rolls in their states, and I know Georgia will be coming up, it is important that you check your status to make sure that you are eligible to vote. If you have a question, and even if you don't have one, still check. When I went to vote, I had so much documentation, so many credentials with me. They said, you don't need anything but a driver's license. I said, well, I want to make sure. Because a few weeks ago, we had voted in a special election, and the person wouldn't let me vote in my precinct. And I did call the head of our voting election here in Greenville, and that got straight pretty quick. He said, don't worry about Ms. Black. I'm calling them right now. You go back, you will be allowed to vote. So we don't miss voting. We vote for everything, whether it's the auditor's office or whatever case it be. I don't care how low the office is. We're going to exercise our right to vote because too many people have died, gone to jail, and been denied their rights. So don't let anyone take this away from you. I'm certainly not going to let anyone take it away from me. It's too important. I saw my grandparents when I was a little kid, little small thing, having to pay a poll tax to vote, even though they paid taxes on quite a bit of property that my grandfather owned. So it's important that we get out there and exercise our right to vote. But this is what happened here, and we will always be grateful to Congressman Clyburn for his stand, that he is nobody's fool. Let me just tell you, he is nobody's fool. This man is a statesman, and those people like him are far and few and in between now in our Congress. We have a lot of respect, and people around the country and the world respect Congressman Clyburn, but we set it off. And so now we're challenging all the other states to outdo us, raise those, you know, get those percentages up, you know, so that we can bring this thing to a close quickly and that we can move on to what we have to do in the upcoming general election. You need to vote. And Brother Smith, thank you for your slogan. I love it. Thank you.
Awesome. And that's what it's all about. And just to kind of add on to that thought in regards to, and I thank Sarah Black for really bringing that information out. The state of South Carolina set the tone, really did, especially for presidential candidate Joe Biden. They said that if he would run strong and get the numbers in South Carolina, all of those other states would follow along, and they did. He just ran past Bernie Sanders, because you remember in the caucus out of Nevada and Iowa, Bernie Sanders had taken all of them. And some people thought Joe Biden was left for dead. But with the showing in the state of South Carolina, everybody else joined, like in the state of Virginia and the state of Alabama. They all just kind of just joining in, and the Democrats on the Democratic side. And they came out and voted, because the state of Alabama had over 60, Biden received over 62% of the vote in the Democratic primary. So that's a giant step, because think about it. I keep saying, I just said a minute ago about he was considered to be dead, and all of a sudden he rose. But I also think a lot of that because there were so many candidates still in there, sucking the life out of one or two individuals. Those individuals no longer there anymore. So we're going to give the right hoorah and credit to South Carolina, because they set the standard on that Saturday, that move for Super Tuesday. Now we got Super Tuesday coming again tomorrow. So those other states like Mississippi and Michigan and states like that, they got to get out and they have to vote as well. It may be not a surprise, but the state of Michigan going to show up as well. And I listened to several individuals and representatives that was from that state talking about the vote is coming, and they're coming strong in the state of Michigan. So you look forward to seeing that, because a lot of time in these states, just like South Carolina, state of Alabama, and Georgia, and Florida, they're considered to be red states. And I was sorry, Black, I was kind of trying to see why, but when I looked at the numbers in the state of Alabama, I can't say the state of South Carolina, and when the voting actually came out with the combination of all the Democratic candidates, it was right at about 300,000 individuals voted for those candidates. Some of those candidates who dropped out was still on the ballot. But I also looked at the Republican side, and they had almost 700,000 individuals that come out and vote. So I was trying to understand why we was a red state. Then I kind of see the numbers of whatever's going to be. Something is going on with the numbers, and I don't know the numbers, but I don't know how it is in South Carolina, but I saw that, and I was looking at it. It caught my eye, and I wanted to look at it. But it's just like the title said. It doesn't matter what the numbers tell you. Talk is cheap. Don't talk about voting. Voting is free. Just get out there and vote, because many died. As R.R. Black said, many died just for that vote. And so you can have the vote. They had Bloody Summer, reenacting of Bloody Sunday at Selma, of the crossing of the Pettus Bridge. And it was just people, representatives and candidates was there. A lot of people was there. But individuals were beaten when they crossed the bridge. They were fighting for the vote. Just keep in mind, it don't cost you nothing but a little time. So the state of South Carolina set the standard and set it high. And it's time for all the other states to kind of follow along and quit sitting back on your hand, because you can't do nothing on your hand now. But you can do something if you get up and make a move. So that's what it's all about.
And then if you're, Dr. Smith, if your candidate, you know, in this primary, if your candidate is not the one who is the actual nominee of the Democratic Party, we know who the nominee is going to be from this Republican Party, but the Democrats, if this is not your nominee, I have voted ever since I was 18 years old. When I got out of college, the first thing I did was go register to vote because I knew how important it was, and again, how people have just lost their lives, and so many things have happened because of exercising the right to vote. But when I, you know, when you go vote, and just knowing that you can't sit back because your person didn't get the prize. You know, because if you do that, then you might as well just say that, you know, are you selfish? Mm-hmm. You know, when it comes to our democracy and who we are as American people, because in some places around the world, you can't vote. Yep. And if you protest or try to exercise or freedom of expression, I said, well, one guy said, well, I'll just leave the country and move to Russia. So I told him, I said, well, you can go ahead on to Russia. I said, but what you're saying on this Facebook page in Russia will even get you jailed or killed. I said, but that's what you want to do. You know, that's your choice. You know,
yeah.
You're going to move to Russia. And I think sometimes people don't realize what they're saying. And to sit back and sit home and sit out because you didn't get what you wanted and your person did not win. What is it saying about you as a patriot, our democracy, as an American?
Exactly.
You know that on April 1st, we have so many children and adults, vulnerable people who really need assistance. Do people realize on April 1st, SNAP, S-N-A-P, is being cut? 740,000 people are going to be purged off those rolls.
There you go.
You know, and your vote, when you vote, you can vote against some of this stuff. You know, when you exercise your vote and get people in there who are not going to come and purge, you know, us out of things.
Exactly.
You know, it's just a lot that we have at stake. And I do want to give a shout out to people in Texas, because in Texas, they had closed, I don't know how many voting places. And they had people down there standing in line for 6 or 7 hours to vote. There was a man by the name of, his last name was Rogers, so I'm going to say Mr. Rogers, who stood in line almost 7 hours. And he was the last person voting in that particular precinct, polling place. But he said it was important for him to stay there and vote. Then I think it was Southern University where they had a polling place, and those folks had to stand in that line 6 or 7 hours. They ordered pizza, they ordered food in, but they were determined they were going to stand there and vote. So I got to give a real good shout out to those in Texas that voted, exercised their right to vote, stood in those lines for hours, even though people were trying to close places to make it harder for them to vote. Why are we making it harder for people to vote in a country where voting is supposed to be sacred? And this is what's happening down there in Georgia. We know that Stacey Abrams is, as soon as they purged off almost over 300-some thousand people off the rolls, they're getting back on the rolls. So that's why I say it's important for you to check your voting status, call your voting election office, and check to see you got my name. Because in Georgia, if you left a period off your name, or if you were a junior and didn't put the junior or whatever case it may be, they're purging people. This is what she was fighting for. So they're getting back on there now. You know, do not let anybody take this right away from you. Don't.
Exactly.
I certainly am not. You know, I'm just not going to allow it. And again, we go block by block, house by house, no one on a white horse is going to come to save any of us. We got to take it back in our hands and save it ourselves.
Exactly. And that's what we're talking about right there. You know, making your vote count, it does matter. You know, that's one of the things I put on my Facebook page about your vote matters. And we had some changes even in the precinct that I was voting in the area. We had some changes, threw a lot of people off because I knew I was in a precinct, which was the first time being used. And a gentleman was standing in line asking about where he, you know, his card tells him to go down about half a mile down the road to vote because he used to vote somewhere else. And people were just confused and seemed like the people at the precinct couldn't really tell them where they needed to be. But that's why we all should read and find out. If you know this is not the right place and you know you have your card, because a lot of things is happening and some changes, I can say, particularly here in the state of Alabama, that cause individuals to be moved to a different poll because of the change of just the election committee, commission, however you want to call it. And see, those are the kind of things you got to be wary. Don't allow your name to be left off. You know, don't talk about it. Go make it happen for you. You know, it's just like myself in the district. I mean, I'm sort of surprised the district because it's in inner Montgomery, in the city of Montgomery, and you have a representative over two counties over representing two other counties. I said, how can this be in this House of Representatives? That's what I'm talking about right there, one of the districts. And we don't know that. Most of the people in this area don't know this. And that's a very... that's a concern when you don't know exactly what's happening at that level. So we have to make sure we pay close attention to the vote being diluted and not even know it has happened. And that's what it's all about. That's what we're talking about. Voting is free. It don't cost you nothing. Go find out what's going on. Be a part of it. All right, we're going to move to the next topic. The call-in number is 347-857-4192. Before, in actuality, before I do that, I want to run an advertisement for the ladies of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated.
The ladies of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated, Alpha Rho Zeta Chapter, Montgomery, Alabama, celebrates 100 years Final Womanhood Centennial Gala, Saturday, March the 21st, 2020, at the Embassy Suite, 300 Tallapoosa Street, Montgomery, Alabama. The doors open at 6:45. The attire is all white formal. The cost for admission is $50. If you want to get yourself a ticket, go to finalwomanhoodbook1920@gmail.com.
Awesome, awesome. Take that in mind. That's an advertisement for the ladies of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority, Alpha Rho Zeta Chapter in Montgomery, Alabama, having a awesome affair. Get your tickets. That's not this Saturday coming up, but the following Saturday down in the at the Embassy Suite. So check it out. All right, we're gonna move forward to make sure everybody be a part of this.
Okay, I just say that's a phenomenal chapter in Alabama. Alpha Rho Zeta is the bomb, and they do need to support that throughout this year. You don't have to just plug in throughout this year. We will be, we're celebrating our 100 years, and we'll be doing it all year. And so there's so many activities around the country and our international chapters that we're doing to honor our 100 years of final womanhood, service, sisterhood, and scholarships. So we really want scholarship, service, sisterhood, and final womanhood. Let me put it in order so nobody said, well, she, you know, let me get in the order. So make sure you go out and support. You got to get in the order now because I'll be the first one complaining when they're out of order. But scholarship, service, sisterhood, and final womanhood. And go out and support Alpha Rho Zeta because that is and it's going to be an awesome event. I have no doubt on that. No doubt.
Awesome, awesome. And that's what we're talking about. All right, the call-in number is 347-857-4192. Press 1, and I'll identify you with the last four digits of your cell or telephone number and ask you to give your comments, your questions, or your expertise. And if you want to tell us your name and location, we're so excited to have that. So let's move to the next topic. We want to look at discussing with the surge that happened in South Carolina for Joe Biden, what effect would that be? We know the other candidates and dropped out after Super Tuesday, but against Bernie Sanders. And, Scott, I just want to kind of see your thoughts in regards to that surge that came, and it actually came in South Carolina for Joe Biden, the presidential candidate, that kind of pushed him forth ahead of Bernie Sanders. Can you just share your thoughts, and I'll come behind you and share mine as well.
Okay. Well, I'm a Joe Biden supporter and have been for a very long time, even before he ran for this presidential election. So, you know, you're talking to somebody that's a huge supporter of his. The surge, and even those candidates that left the race, there are some excellent people running in this presidential election. And what I love about them is the fact that they put their own selfish desires, because when it's your desire, it's your selfish desire. And when they saw no path forward, they dropped out or left the campaign trail, left the campaign, suspended their campaigns, and pulled in their support all around Joe. What many people do not know is that when his same people that were running for president against him this year, when they ran for their Senate seats, their House of Representatives seats, and when they were in the government as appointees of President Obama, Joe was highly supportive of every one of them. Everyone. And when they ran for these things, they asked him, he did 64 appearances to help people in 2018 to run for seats. He was the only one that was asked to come and do that. Bernie was not. Because this also, who's at the top of the ticket, also affects the down ballot. Who's trying to retain their seats, stay in their seats, and new people coming into those seats. Joe Biden was the one that asked to come. Why? That should tell you a lot right there, because of the respect they have for him. And even though they were rivals now, they have come to endorse him. And every one of those people, pretty much most of them, are more than likely going to be in his administration. I have no doubt on that. I really do, because there were some good people. And I had some second and third choices in case he didn't make, because they had given him up for dead. You know, they mm-hmm. really had.
Mm-hmm.
Supporting him, first of all, he's experienced. And right now we need someone who is fit for the office, who is experienced. He has been in the Situation Room with President Obama for 8 years. And I don't know how many times he was invited to be in the Situation Room when he was a United States Senator. But that experience counts. The Situation Room in the White House, the Oval Office in the White House, is the place where life and death decisions are made. When it came to Osama bin Laden and all those people, you saw pictures of people sitting in the Situation Room. He's also been he was a top advisor to President Obama. President Obama has said on numerous occasions that Joe Biden made him a better president because of his counsel, wise counsel, and advice. So the fact that he has his experience, he has the skill set, because he knows and allies around the world know him. World leaders know him, and they respect him. He has worked with he called most world leaders first name basis because he's worked with them for so long. In this country, what bothers me about America sometimes is that often when people get to be a certain age, for some reason, we think that if you're over 50, that your intellect goes out the window. Your intellect does not go out the window when you're 50-plus years old. You have wisdom. You have experience that you can bring to the table. Because, you know, and it talks about all that. And I'm thinking like, well, doggone. You know, when did you lose your sense of sensibility? Come on, ma'am. We don't think it has a problem with that. We think that nobody has any sense if you're below over 50. Would you say that to your mother, to your father, your auntie, your uncle, if they want to run for something or still be involved in something? You know, we got to stop this. In other countries, age and wisdom is well respected. Experience is respected. We are the ones that they act like this. I mean, I'm just telling you the truth. So he is a well respected man, and again, if I had to have someone with the nuclear codes in their hands, in America's nuclear codes, I trust Joe. To answer that 3 a.m. phone call with a crisis, I trust Joe. We see what this experiment that's there now has shown us. When you're not ready for this cast, you know, this is not like going out to be the head of Boy Scouts or something. This is the United States of America presidency. You don't put just anybody off the street in that. And well, I guess we did, but like somebody said, this is not, you know, we got a real estate agent versus someone who's real experienced and has the skill set to do the job. So this is why, you know, he's my candidate, and I trust him with all this. We need to return back to decency. He's a good and humane man, and we need that right now. We need a steadiness. We need a maturity. I'm tired of hearing insults, tweet insults, and all the other things that come out with it. I'm just tired of it, because no one deserves to be bullied, to be afraid of your leader. And unfortunately, the followers normally act like the leader. And this is why we have, you know, in schools now, we're seeing where kids in schools are taking on this bullying behavior. And it's going to be a while before we've ever, you know, that this is going to turn this thing around. But we need decency and respect into the Oval Office.
And truly, too, let's keep in mind the calling number is 347-857-4192. Press 1 to identify your last 4 digits of cell or telephone number. And you can offer your comments, your questions, as well as your expertise. I think it's important that the candidate that's in there running has to have some upper hand, because it's going to be a challenge. It can be a challenge because of a lot of individuals comfortable with the way the world is and the way the United States is. We can say what we want, but we have to also be realistic too as well. Some people think that way. That's what they are. They are bullies. They bullies on their jobs, and they'll do it to you just like they'll do it to anybody else, and they like this. And that's the concern I have about all that's going on in government now. People are comfortable with the way it is, and because they're showing who they are. That's what we think about. We think of they put on shirt and ties. They change. No, they change. They still have that inner self. And you have to answer to me. You don't have to answer anybody on this show. Sorry or not. You're going to ask for Almighty God for whatever you do. That's for everybody. So we have to keep that in mind. So we have to make sure we select the best candidate. And just to talk a second about the nomination process for both Democratic as well as Republican Party. You know, coming this summer, there's going to be time for the nomination process. And that's based on the number of delegates that one individual will attain, so the party can stand behind that individual, regardless whether they got one person or two person at the top up there. I think that's some of the concerns I think we're having with Bernie Sanders and with Joe Biden. They're saying playing by the rules. Let's play by the rules, because there's all been some talk about that. You know, we're not going to let it go down that way. And I don't know what they're talking about. I got a feeling what they're talking about. And you just keep an eye for it. You have to watch out for what's going to go on. Don't sit back and think it's going to be automatic, because some people won't take a step back like they're supposed to. And it happened in 2016, whether you believe it or not. It happened. A lot of the supporters of Bernie Sanders stepped away not very happy with the way the process went. And they wanted to ensure that they think the process can go in their favor. But, Sarah, you want to share some thoughts about the nominating process and how many delegates that is needed, if you can think of. I know it's well over 1,000 that's needed to become the nominee.
Democratic is 1,900, and the process we're using this time is one when Bernie got mad. You know, they got mad in 2016 when Hillary won. They changed some of the process, and I think the super delegates who are like the congressmen and people like that will probably vote on the second round. But tomorrow with Super Tuesday, Joe has most delegates now, and even in California, where there was supposed to be like a wall there, it's not a wall, because Joe had over what he needed, and really those delegates are being divvied up, so nobody walked away with, you know, 200 or 300 delegates just from that one state. Didn't happen that way. And they're still counting. I understand that they're still counting the ballots in California. It takes a while because, you know, California is huge. So it takes quite a while. And they're counting ballots now. And the more they count, the closer that Joe is getting even there. So California was not as bad as they had forecasted to be. So it's going to take 1900, but the person that has a clear path in terms of they look at the numbers, and if there's a clear path to what states are left and how many more delegate votes are going to come in with other states. I think Georgia is not in this group. They come up next. And I think it's 17.
17 is
somewhere along there.
Next Tuesday.
The next week, yeah.
Next.
So, yeah. So it's going to take that, but if there's one person here has a clear path to making the 1900, then, you know, Bernie's going to have some decisions to make. You know, whether or not he continues on like he did with Hillary. Hillary had a clear path to the nomination. There was not a clear path for him. But he stood, he wanted to go all the way to the convention floor, to the convention, and that's what he did. And again, some folks, you know, of the supporters got angry and set out. Well, we know what happened. Hillary won the popular vote. She didn't get the Electoral College. There is also some talk now about, you know, trying to do away with the Electoral College because you need 270-some votes to win. So it's going to be interesting whether or not he's going to not do what he did in 2016 or whether he'll be gracious and just say, well, you know, I don't have a clear path like these other folks have done. That's what they had to do, sit down and map out, you know, is there how I can get this these delegate counts, and it wasn't in the cards for them. So they left the presidential race. And now they're endorsing Joe. So now if he's gracious enough to do that after tomorrow, who knows? Or will he drag it out like he did in 2016?
I don't know. I don't know. But I have a funny feeling because it's already been said that there's a good chance that either one of them going to carry to the point that they don't have that clear path. So I don't know. But I want to make sure everybody vote when you have an opportunity. In the general election, make sure you vote. Make sure you cast it. Don't say because the Electoral College is doing it, going to determine you vote for the delegate, and those delegates ought to be the one going where they're supposed to vote. If not, then you got to hold them accountable, because it was one of the things I'll say in this process, because when it came up, On the ballot up there, a person was added to the ballot. In a lot of states, that person was added to the ballot, and they didn't have any delegates, but everybody else had delegates. So, you know, if you was choosing whatever choice you went, if you went with that person, you may not vote for those delegates just because they had all the delegates listed under that person, but they didn't have any on the other particular. I'm just using that for example. We had to kind of keep an eye for things like that's politics. That's what it's all about, and that's what we're talking about. The call-in number is 347-857-4192. We're going to take a leap because our time is down about 17 minutes now. Sorry, we want to look at education. And we know a lot of things are happening on a national level. It's some major problems, and there's a lot of things that have been taken out of the right perspective. But I want you to, if you would, share in regards to South Carolina, is the use of the ad valorem tax used to increase the meals for the school systems in the state of South Carolina or in the state surrounding that? I know it's a challenge in Alabama. Can you just share some thoughts? And then we'll come and share some thoughts about the ad valorem tax.
We're talking about the tax. You're breaking up. I can't. you're breaking up. You're coming in and out. I'm sorry.
And put some of the meals that are used to educate, making sure that we have money in place for our school system and your local tax, which is called property tax, is put in place to pay for education. At Valier Tax is 10 meals is the minimum I can say in the state of Alabama that's given to school system. We're having major problems on a national level with the various agency, but we also want to round it off and talk about local agency. And I wanted to find out exactly in South Carolina what exactly what number of meals is required in at Valier Tax are given to your school system.
I think it's about the same, but we also have a lottery here. Do you have a lottery in Alabama?
Oh, see, that's the kicker right
okay,
there. Yeah.
We have a lottery here that also goes towards education, and that was in place years ago, and it has made a huge difference. And, in fact, each tax person in South Carolina, we got a little rebate back a couple of months ago. I think we got like $50-some, and that was surprising from our budget. And our legislators just voted last week to be in fact for a huge educational reform package. Now, the educators in the state saying it did not include some of the things they wanted, which was reduced testing, making sure the class sizes and everything, you know, stayed low, and some additional personnel things that they wanted. So they're still, you know, kind of not happy about that. But it is giving them increases in other areas where they need it, you know, with income and all these things. It's not perfect, but the fact that it was a top priority here in this state this year is a revelation in itself. Because I've known the time when they were cutting education in this state almost to the bare bones.
Yep.
So, and I think that's in most states. And one thing I have to say that if Joe is successful, Bessie DeVos is going to be gone anyway, but they're going to try to undo all this cutting and gutting public school systems that she's done, because she really has ruined. This administration here is really just about gutted public education in favor of private and charter schools. And I know in some areas where public school system may not be great and not really working for our kids, but that's not the case in every area. You know, that's not the case in every area of the country. But even with that, public school education needs to have the funding it needs to ensure that 21st century children are getting 21st century education.
Exactly. And we want you to be a part of it. 347-857-4192. Press 1, identify the last four digits of your cell or telephone number, and actually give your name, location, as well as your comments, as well as your expertise. My biggest concern that I have, no problem after spending these many years, and I, right now I'm up to almost 40. I'm in public education. I'm proud of it. I retired in 16, but I'm still working on the college level. The biggest problem I have, not so much on national, is on a local level. And I was talking about at the tax, because that's the way we fund our local education in the state of Alabama. And we don't have a lottery. We have casinos, but they're only operated by the reservation or the Indians, the Creek Indians. So we don't have our hands in that. And somehow we can't get a lottery. But our biggest problem at our local level, not so much as having just simple problem, is misappropriation of money. And whenever we have that going on, you're going to have a problem where people are not going to vote, I'm talking about particularly in Alabama, on any increase in ad valorem taxes because of the misappropriated. Just in this local system here in Montgomery, Alabama, over $700,000 misappropriated by administrators and by teachers. And that don't seem lot. That I'm saying that no matter what everybody else doing well, whenever that happens, it affects everybody else that may be doing right. Whether because the late person don't have that idea. One of the things they have, test it on your end or not. I know their ideal is that as teachers, they're getting paid more than they deserve. You out for the summer. I don't know if you heard it, but I had heard this out. A lot of people lay, and all of them are not just people that falls in whatever category economically. It's people that are middle class and think the same way. But when we start misappropriating funds by principals, by coaches, by system principals, you have a problem convincing those individuals who outnumber you to vote on any increase. And let's keep it real. And my suggestion, and sorry, you can add your point in regards to this, is we have to deal with it to where it's going to restore the belief in education. Sometimes we just can't slap them on the hand and let them go away. When you have a system principal, $330,000 taken.
Oh my God! Well, see that won't happen here because we have too many. We have so many checks and balances. We have an Educational Finance Act. We have an Education Improvement Act. We have property tax relief and all this kind of stuff. But we accountability. And I'll just speak about the system I was in because I'm in the largest district in South Carolina, which is Greenville County Schools. And there's an independent auditor. We were audited every year. The internal audit was done every year, and you had to turn your books over. We also had to follow the financial policies, which is a huge thick book. So if you misappropriate anything, you took anything, it would show very quickly. And two things that would get you out of a principalship or assistant principalship or any leadership position in this district was money and sex. I'll put it like that. Money and sex. You be gone. So we had such a tight accountability. There is such a tight accountability in our system that that just doesn't happen. We are reviewed. I can't tell you how many times we were reviewed. So often. I had a great bookkeeper, and sometimes she would say, "Well, now, Miss Black, you can't spend that money for this, that, and the other. You have to stay in this category or whatever case may be." And I said, "But it's about the children. It's about the children." She said, "I know it's about the children. I know how you feel about the children. But now, you don't want to go to jail, and neither do I." So we will always make sure that we were in compliance, because if you weren't, I mean, it would trigger things, you know, folks would know right away, and particularly with grants and stuff, because it also had to go through several review areas where we wanted to pull money out of a grant. We had to make sure that we had the approval, not only of myself, but of the folks above me, to make sure that we could, you know, that was in compliance with what we're supposed to be doing. I am proud to say, and I'm just bragging a little bit right now, I earned two, what we call, quote-unquote, perfect audits in my career. And that was very unheard of because, you know, usually an auditor is going to try to find something. But on two separate occasions, I earned my school and I earned, as its leader, two perfect audits. So, unfortunately, it's not like that in every state from what you're saying, Doc. You know, that's unfortunate because there's nowhere in the world you would keep a job for misappropriating any kind of money like that. $10, you know, why take it? You'd be gone.
And that's the good thing you said about all of the things. They have the same thing here. I think where that gray area comes and around these areas is going to jail. Accountability. Mm-hmm. See, when you become gray in that area, you're going to allow things to happen like that. And I think that's the only way you can start restoring the public belief in the school system, public school system, is that when people do that, you cannot sweep it under the rug. You have to
deal with it. No, you have to hold people. People are held accountable. You have to have accountability.
If you don't do that, that's my point. I can't vote on an additional 1 cent if you won't hold those people accountable. Yeah, they may pay it back, but they shouldn't be teaching nobody. They have no certification available to them for doing that. That's the way I kind of feel about it. And I tell people, and I don't have a problem biting my tongue on it, it'll stop when you put it to the max, when you push it to the max. Don't let people retire. Don't let them do it. Pay the money back, or they pay the money back.
It's also about public trust, because
exactly.
The public has to trust that we are accountable to them. And and for us here in South Carolina, we were accountable to the General Assembly, you know, those legislators down there, because they're watching those dollars too. You know, we're giving you all this money. We want to know how it's spent.
Exactly. And that's where when you have accountability and hold it firm, you have no problem. Not saying it's not happening here, because once they find out, they attack the problem, but it could be avoided when you make sure things fall in line, but you send a message when it does happen. The accountability steps out there in the front that if you do that, you know you're going to lose this. You know you're going to have criminal charges. Don't say they can pay the money back and they may have criminal charges. It's not a may when a person walk away $300,000 and use it for everything.
Well, my thing is, if somebody's taking that kind of money, if they had the money, they wouldn't have taken it in the first place. And so how in the world are you going to pay it back?
There you go. So you have to have that. So that puts a damper on what we're trying to do as educators when we have individuals do that. So we have to make sure we push hard and hold people to the point accountable, and sometimes hold them accountable by not voting for another additional 1 cent. So you make sure you use and prove that you can use what you had without abusing it. I see sometimes that can help get people on the right track, being an educator, because, you know, we worked hard. And I previously dealt with someone like that, trying to take money and do stuff like that. But, you know, it works. The law worked in the favors for the work. You know what I'm saying? So we have to hold people accountable. So we have restored the public trust in the school, in the education system. That's the only way we can do it, because they're always looking for something to be negative to come out of the school system. And if we don't do that, we eventually fall to the wayside. We're at the end of the hour. It's been awesome. We're down at 8:57. Yeah, I know we could talk longer, Scarlett, but we're going to shut it down right here, because we got so much. We might have a part three in a different form next time.
I like the part three, because we're in an election season, so we may have to go to a part three and four.
Exactly. And that's what it's all about. The title, then just we talked about it, and we're going to talk about it more and more. If talk is cheap, voting is free, take it to the polls. And we're going to be doing Super Tuesday, a few more Tuesdays from this point on. And I do appreciate everybody joining. Scarlett, you can share your thoughts as we close this out for the night and move forward to get prepared in 2 weeks to come back with something related to political as well as education.
Well, first of all, thank you for the opportunity tonight. As always, we have lively discussion, and we share a lot in common. We really, truly do. But again, I want to thank our listening audience. We are just a wonderful audience, and we thank you for listening. Some things, you know, that we discuss, you may in different areas, you know, you may have your own situation, but hopefully, some things that we've said that you can apply it and use it, because again, we have to take care of us. We got to do the walking. Stop all the talking. Do the action. It's action time now. It's action time. So get busy, get engaged, stay engaged, and if you don't know, read it. Look it up. Do the research. Do the homework. You know, just don't take our word for it. You know, look it up and do the homework. But again, we just enjoy our audience here in our domestic country and also overseas, those international communities that have also joined in listening to us, because We know in some areas in our international community, you don't have some of these freedoms. I'm a proud American, and I'm not ashamed to say it, but I'm a proud American. And our democracy, how we act and behave and around the world is important to me. It really truly is how we are seen and how we are viewed. So, again, act, walk, don't do so much talking. Get to acting and get busy.
Awesome, awesome. And thank you again, Sara Black, for being a part of. And we got quite a few people we want to give a shout out to. Again, we always happy to have the individuals join us on Periscope, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, as well as Blog Talk Radio. But we have our handle, Beautiful_Zeta_Lady, was joining us with several others on Periscope, as well as Instagram or Facebook. We're going to give a shout out to those individuals. Michelle Falk, she was joining us. Yvette Smith joining us as well. Valinda Samples, a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated.
Yes,
you know, Valinda, of course, out of Texas. She's joining us as well. Terry Melodrama.
True grit, Texas.
Yeah. Terry Melodramatic Robinson, a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority. Chandra Carr. Shanita Arrington Mitchell, Dana Bowser out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, a member of Zeta Phi Beta Operator, she'll be joining us as well. And we have several others that are named that have all these different handles, and I can't call them all out, but I appreciate each and every one of them joining us because they have some strange handles, but I'm glad you are with us. Every time we can have you on here, it's awesome to have you here because we're giving you information, and we want you to go block by block with no problem.
Block.
Make it do what it do. And that's taking it block by block. So, again, we're going to close the show out, but I want to give a shout out and say you still have this tour of my books available. Don't be scared to be loved. Don't be scared to love. I'm looking off somewhere else, and that's $20. And education, what happened to the passion, $15. Go to my Gmail account, LorenzaDSmith15@gmail.com. Purchase a book.
Excellent book. I got one of them. Excellent book. Don't be afraid to love. Don't be scared to love.
There you go. Don't be scared to love. There you go. Ebner R. Smith Scholarship. And that's a fund available for any graduating senior who's interested in going to community college, a techno college, which is need-based, to get a license, a certificate, or associate degree in cosmetology. We're going to look at the whole person, not just one or four-year college. We have community college and technical college, and the world need everybody working. So we want you to make sure you purchase the book. Go to LorenzaDSmith15@gmail.com. We'll get you more information. Go to Facebook. It's been awesome tonight. As I tell everybody, I'm so happy to have a chance to be here. Hashtag keep on grinding. Hashtag communicate for understanding, and also let you know tomorrow we've got the Dr. Lowe Show. Have guests, two guests on there, husband and wife, going to be talking about relationship, and that's Mr. and Mrs. Antonio Bailey, co-authors of I Do, Struggling to Keep the Vows. It's what they're going to be talking about. It's an awesome night planned at 7 o'clock tomorrow night on Facebook, Blog Talk Radio. It's been great, but I always end the show with this positive word. Because it's positive to me. Because this is how I feel about everybody. And I always say, I love you. And ain't a thing you can do about it. Have an awesome night. And we'll look forward to having words with you on tomorrow night.
Hey. I got a condo in Manhattan. Baby girl, what's happening? Your ass invited, so gone and get to clapping. Go pop it for a plan, pop it for me. Turn around and drop it for a plan, drop it for me. I'll rent a beach house in Miami. Wake up with no jammies. Lobster tail for dinner. Julio served that scampi. You got it if you want it, got it if you want it. Said You got it if you want it. Take my wallet if you want it now. Jump in.